Hello, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob. And it's The Way of a Pilgrim, episode 19, the Jesus Prayer Journey. We've just left our pilgrim as he was corralled by two children out in front of a church and brought over to see Mama, right? And he came across this large manor house behind the church. Beautiful garden. Went inside and met the mistress of the house, and she had him sit down and tried to feed him, but of course he just got the warm loaf of bread, so he was good. And offered a cup of tea, but peasants, of course, aren't that used to tea. So he says, "I've gotta leave. Please excuse me, dear mother. It's time for me to leave. May the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your kind children." And that's where we pick it up today. "Oh no. God forbid that you go. I won't permit it. My husband will be coming home from the city this evening. He is a judge there. He'll be so happy to meet you. He regards every pilgrim as a messenger of God. If you leave now, he will be very upset not to have seen you. Besides, tomorrow is Sunday, and you can pray at the liturgy with us, and then we'll eat together as God provides. We always have guests on the feast days, as many as 30 of Christ's needy ones. But you have not even told me anything about yourself. Where you come from and where you are going. Stay and talk with me. I love to hear about spiritual matters from devout people. Children, children, take the pilgrim's knapsack and put it in the icon room. That's where he will spend the night." I was surprised by what she was saying and thought to myself, is this a human being? Or is this some kind of apparition? So I stayed to meet the master of the house. I briefly told her about my journey and that I was headed for Irkutsk. "Well then," said the mistress, "you will have to pass through Tobolsk. My mother is a Schema nun and lives in a monastery there. We will give you a letter of introduction, and she will receive you. Many people go to her for spiritual counsel. By the way, you can also take her a book by St. John Climacus, which she was asked to order from Moscow." How well all this fits together. Finally, it was time for dinner, and we all sat down at the table, where four more women joined us. After the first course, one of them got up from the table and bowed to the icon and then to us. She served the second course and sat down again. Then another of the women repeated this and served the third course. Observing all this, I asked the mistress of the house, "If I may ask, Matushka, are these ladies related to you?" "Yes," she said, "they are sisters to me. This one is the cook. This one is the coachman's wife. That one is the housekeeper. And the last is my maid. They are all married. And I don't have any unmarried girls working in my house." Having observed and listen to everything, I was even more astonished. I thank God for bringing me to such devout people, and I experienced the intense activity of the prayer in my heart. Since I was eager to be alone, so as not to hinder the prayer, I got up from the table and said to the mistress, "No doubt you will need to rest after dinner. I am used to taking a walk, so I will stroll around the garden." "No," she replied, "I do not need to rest. I will walk with you in the garden, and you will tell me something soul-profiting. If you go alone, the children will pester you. As soon as they see you, they won't leave you for a moment, because they truly love the needy brethren of Christ and pilgrims. There was nothing I could do but go with her, in order to avoid having to talk to myself. When we entered the garden, I bowed to the ground before the mistress and said, "Matushka, in the name of God, please tell me how long you have been living such a devout life and how you achieve such piety." "Perhaps I should tell you the whole story of my life. You see, my mother is the great-granddaughter of Saint Joasaph, whose relics lie in Belgorod and are exposed for veneration. We used to own a large townhouse and rented one wing of it to a nobleman who was not too well off financially. When he died, his widow was pregnant, and then she died after giving birth. My mother had compassion on the poor orphaned child and took him in to raise him. I was born 1 year later. We grew up together, studied under the same tutors, and became as close as brother and sister. Sometime later, my father died, and my mother moved from the city to live here in the country on her estate. When we grew up, my mother gave me in marriage to this orphaned young man who had grown up in our house. She left us her entire estate and entered a monastery where she had a cell built for herself. In giving us her blessing, she admonished us to live as Christians, to pray earnestly to God, and above all else, to strive to fulfill the most important of God's commandments, to love our neighbors, and to feed and help those in need, with simplicity and humility, to raise our children in the fear of God, and to treat our servants as though they were our brothers and sisters. So we have lived here by ourselves these last 10 years, trying our best to follow Mother's instructions. We have a guest house for the poor, where there are more than 10 crippled and needy people living at the moment. Perhaps tomorrow we will visit them. When she had finished her story, I asked, "Where is that book by St. John Climacus that you wanted delivered to your mother? Let's go inside and I will find it for you." No sooner had we sat down to read than the master of the house arrived. Upon seeing me, he embraced me warmly, and we exchanged the kiss of peace. Then he took me into his own room and said, "Come, dear brother, to my study, and bless my cell. I think that you have had enough of her," he pointed to his wife. "As soon as she sees a pilgrim or someone who is ill, she is more than glad to spend all day and night with them. Her entire family has been this way for generations." We went into his study. There were so many books and magnificent icons there, as well as a large cross with a life-size figure of Christ on it and a Bible beside it. I prayed and then said to him, "Sir, what you have here is truly paradise. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, his most pure mother, and his holy saints. And these," I pointed to the books, "are their divinely inspired living words and teachings which can never be silenced. I would expect that you enjoy frequent spiritual converse with them." Amen.